Hi, and welcome to our first ever podcast. My name is Hannah Pollock.
And I'm Victoria Mount.
And today we're going to be talking about what is family. The good.
The bad.
The beautiful.
The ugly.
The happy.
The sad.
And everything that it encompasses in between that. Get excited.
Yay!
Let's see what self says about what is family. Hannah. Why don't you give us some background?
Thanks, Victoria. Yeah, let's spend a minute talking about what Self says in his book, All in the Family. So throughout this book, pretty much it talks about this breadwinner society. Let's give you a little bit of background about what breadwinner society is. So this is pretty much where the male is going to work. He's going to his 9-to-5 job. He's making that moolah. He's making that bacon. You know, he's bringing in the money for his family. At the same time, though, the woman is a supporting character in this family. You know, she doesn't have a job. She stays at home, stuff like that. On top of this, of course, they have cute little kids running around and all of that. You know, they're the perfect family. But let's also comment that this is a cis white family. You know, there's no room in this quote-unquote perfect breadwinner society for gay families, interracial families, extended families, you know, extended families where the grandparents are living with the families or brothers and sisters are living together, stuff like that, where, you know, it's a bigger family. So pretty much they're trying to create this perfect family, which is breadwinner. It's also called the nuclear family, you know, where it's this perfect family where the male is a strong, dominant figure. He's going to work. He is making that money for his family.
And the woman is just a pretty stay-at-home mom that always has dinner ready on the table when the man gets home from work. She keeps the house and the kids in perfect order.
Yeah, so it's stuff like you see in TV shows and in cinema.
So like Leave It to Beaver.
You know, Leave It to Beaver has that perfect breadwinner family where the mom is putting on the makeup, you know, she's meeting the dad at the door with that cute little kiss, you know, and Leave It to Beaver, you know, while he's mischievous, it's the perfect family, you know, they're white, they're cute, you know, they're quote-unquote, honestly, the perfect breadwinner family. So let's get into a little bit more about, like, what Self says in the book about this family. So pretty much he describes this family as archetypal and prescriptive. This means that the breadwinner society that they're trying to create is structured. It has a structure of the male being the complete dominant figure in the family, you know, the female being the supportive character, and then, you know, the children under that. It's what God, quote unquote, created. You know, when you see the charts all the time in the media, it's where the male's on the top, the female's underneath, and then, of course, the children underneath that. You know, this is the quote-unquote perfect family. I'm going to say that a lot because it's not necessarily what we think, and it's not necessarily what Self actually thinks throughout his book, but it's what was consumed and consuming society during the 50s and 60s because they wanted this perfect breadwinner society to take over. Impractical, yes, but it was happening, and this is mainly what conservatives wanted throughout the media. On top of this, you know, the more feminist view is going to be described by Self as humanist and sociological. So this pretty much means that this type of family is not just this prescriptive and archetypal. I love those words, so I'm going to use them multiple times. But it's not this, you know, structured family that can't just be one thing. It can be so many other things, and that humans are the ones that create the families. You know, these can be families that are, you know, gay, they can be interracial, they can honestly be any family that they want because we're creating it based on human beliefs and the actual humans that are creating these families, not just what the structured society wants this family to look like.
Yay!
So we're going to get a little bit more into this throughout this podcast, but we kind of wanted to give you a general overview of what Self says throughout the book of kind of the differing views of family. But I hope you enjoyed this first part, and we're going to get into it a little bit more with some history of not only families, but with gay rights, interracial rights, stuff like that, reproductive rights. And then at the very end, of course, we're going to be talking about the more current views on things like abortion, because it's a huge hot topic button right now, and it's a huge play in society right now on what a family means and how a family should look and what rights women should have based on these family views, because they are not this archetypal and prescriptive general family. So let's get into this. We're really excited. You excited, Victoria?
You know it.
So let's get into this. It's history time.
Let's go back to before the 20th century. When a couple got married, they were married until death, because divorce just wasn't a thing. Women were only meant to cater to their husbands and children's needs, so they were their husband's property. But on the flip side, men were the head of the house because it was their duty to provide for the family.
That's a perfect point, Victoria. At this time, women were just supposed to stay at home, but because of things like the Great Depression happening, where all of a sudden the economy tanked, women's rights and women joining the workforce ended up being a necessity. So it was no longer an optional thing. Women had to actually join the workforce. So all these ideas of them being property and all these rights that they didn't have at the time was no longer possible, because these women were joining the workforce and they needed to expand rights to include them. So this is honestly the main idea behind why family structures changed, was because of stuff like the Great Depression, where the economy tanked, right?
Yep.
Yeah, no, so it's definitely a crazy thing, but it's so economical, family structures, because, you know, conservatives wanted that family structure because they thought, you know, the economy could support that, but in reality, the economy couldn't. Self talks about it all throughout his book, that this is mainly the reason why society changed. And if you look at textbooks and, you know, you look at online history, this is the main cause of changes within the family structure throughout history, is that economics forced this change and forced the hand of society, where women now had to join that workforce and women now needed those rights. And that's why families changed, because the woman could no longer stay at home.
Following the Great Depression was World War II. The war meant that the women were left alone to head the household while the men went to fight for their country. Post-war was a time for a huge social change, which led to a shift in the family structure. With women at the forefront, this opened the doors for a lot more changes to come. So not only did women's rights change, Hannah, but so did the view that society had on the typical family. This is when interracial couples were able to break the mold society had built.
That's exactly right, Victoria. Post-war America was the perfect time for social change. During the 50s and 60s, it was definitely needed, and it was something that people were fighting for. People wanted this change within society. Women's rights were on the forefront, African American and Black rights were on the forefront, and so much more came into light that needed to be changed, and this helped honestly change the whole family structures. A huge court case that ended up coming out of the 50s, well, the late 50s, was Loving v. Virginia. This was a court case about a white male and a Black female who got married, and they were actually arrested for it. It was a big deal, and it actually ended up going up to the Supreme Court, where the Supreme Court ended up saying that prohibiting interracial marriage was unconstitutional. This was a huge, huge deal for family structure. This pretty much meant that now people could marry whoever they wanted, whoever they fell in love with, but it still wasn't within gay rights, but within actual interracial rights. But it still was the forefront for many changes that would come, and it was a big deal at the time. And during the 50s, and well, the case started in the 50s, but it ended in the 60s when it was changed. And this was huge for society and for family structures.
We saw a change in women's rights and the expansion of race in America during the 50s and 60s. But during the 70s was when gay rights came into the running for structural changes of the family.
That's right, Victoria. So during the 50s and 60s, on the forefront of most people's minds was women's rights and then race rights. But you're right, during the 70s is when gay rights first kind of came into play and became big. They were a little bit into play before that, but they didn't actually become huge until about the 70s with things like Harvey Milk, and then ended up having a huge, horrible, quote-unquote, break with the AIDS outbreak. But it wasn't until around 2015 when the Supreme Court ruled that states could not ban same-sex marriage and gay marriage became legal that gay families were actually able to have rights like normal families and get married, which is huge, right?
It is.
Heck yes. Okay, Victoria, so we talked a little bit about interracial couples, we talked a little bit about gay rights, we've hit on women's rights, but we keep going back to this main idea of society creating these views. So let's go into a little bit about what is society.
It's the government. Policies that were created within the government tried to keep the family structure as nuclear as possible.
As we know, society means government because government is what is running society. So anything that is able to happen within society first has to happen within the government or else it's illegal, right?
Yep.
So, you know, these rights and policies had to change first through the government in order to then spread out through society and create big changes. Okay, let's go back for a minute, Victoria.
Back to when, Hannah?
Back to learning more about the women's rights movement. Okay, so as we mostly know, the women's rights movement didn't mainly start in the 60s, but that was during the second wave. Okay, but the second wave, quote-unquote wave, because it wasn't really a wave, it was a continuous process, but the second wave of women's rights' biggest contribution during the time was probably the Title IX Act. This prohibited employment discrimination on the basis of sex and race and origin. This was huge. This pretty much meant that women could now work and do what they wanted within the workforce. This also opened up the door for other races to join the workforce and have the same rights as women and men and everyone within the workforce. So this was a big deal.
Women's rights issues expanded even further into modern households, according to Pew Research Center. Single-parent households have grown in America. 4 in 10 births occur to women who are single, while 26% of kids younger than 18 are actually living with a single parent. As more mothers have entered the workforce, more have become breadwinners. By 2000, 73% of moms were in the labor force. Among married couples today, it is more common for the wife to have more education than the husband. This means that women are actually becoming the primary breadwinners within their families.
Dang, women becoming more independent and primary breadwinners. Woo woo! Now, let's bring the women's rights movement to the present. Huge women's rights issue right now is what, Victoria?
Abortion.
Which is a reproductive issue, right?
Yep.
So pretty much on the forefront of what is a family right now is women's rights within reproductive rights. This is a hugely controversial and hot button issue right now, and it's something that we're about to go into in further detail. Okay, Victoria, all this is great, but I think we pulled away a little bit from our main issue, don't you think?
Just a smidge.
Just a smidge. Okay, and what is our main issue?
What is family?
Yeah, so that's a question that we're trying to answer right now. So in order to kind of tie this all back together real quick, gay rights, women's rights, and interracial couple rights were all hugely impactful in becoming what is family today. So what is our version of family today has pulled away so far from this nuclear family. It's become what the feminists view that was written about in Self's book, All in the Family, that is dynamic, it's going to be humanistic, it's going to be sociological, it's all these huge things that were important into going into now what is family. So all these points that we're going over, you know, while they look small, they all have the snowball effect. So each thing that's added is helping us create the family of what is our current family structures now, which is so much more open than it used to be. I mean, you know, gay rights, huge now, you know, LGBT community families are becoming forefront for them. Interracial couples, I mean, now it's so much bigger and you can actually see them when you're walking outside. You know, the extended family structures where grandparents are living, you know, with the families, you know, kids are going back home and living with their families. You know, single moms, it's a huge deal now, is that single moms actually have the ability to be single moms, which has changed the social structure of families completely. I mean, all these things, women's rights, gay rights, and interracial couple rights, has all helped snowball into what we look at in society today. Opinion time!
Ding, 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 ding,
ding! Okay, so now we're gonna get a little bit into our opinions and to kind of go along with our argument of that family structures are super dynamic now, and that's kind of given all the evidence so far, that's what we've led to, is that family structures are ever-changing and dynamic. But now, kind of for more our opinions, we think, along with that, that family structures are dynamic, but I also truly do believe that they're still open to change, that change still needs to happen within them. Wouldn't you agree, Victoria?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, so family structures right now are still lacking in that we still truly do see families as the cis white family. Luckily, time's changing. We're trying to combat that a little bit. I mean, through stuff like TV, right?
Yeah.
I mean, well, what's your favorite show?
One Day at a Time.
One Day at a Time is about a Cubano family, and they're
single
all about...
Single mother.
Yeah, single mother living with the grandmother.
Who came from Cuba.
Yeah, having two kids. Then we also have newer shows such as, like...
Fresh Off the Boat.
Fresh Off the Boat's a good one. It's all about an Asian American family. Then we also have things like
Modern Family.
That's one of our favorite shows. But Modern Family, you know, shows multiple different families and family structures. You know, one interracial family, you know, one cis white family, and then another gay family. And it's really cinema and film and TV shows have pushed the boundary for what a family is. And we're so lucky to be living in a world right now where we can see that change. I mean, you know, we go back to our favorite show that we already commented about.
Leave It to Beaver.
Leave It to Beaver, which had shown that cis white family that was supposedly, you know, that super dynamic breadwinner family, to now these new shows that are bringing up important issues within family structures, and it's becoming hugely important to how society is viewing families. Now, to talk more about our favorite hot button issue, that is the most current issue in society that has to do with families, is...
Abortion.
Abortion. Abortion is such a big issue in society right now. So many states, such as Alabama, are trying, been able to pass laws, you know, where abortion is no longer legal past the 6 to 8 weeks, which is insane because a lot of times that's when a woman, I mean, just
doesn't even know that they're pregnant.
Yeah, she doesn't even know she's pregnant. You know, that's 2 weeks past your period, you know, due to stress, due to activity, you know, you cannot get your period because of that. And this abortion topic is such a huge issue and such a hot button issue because conservatives are fighting that it's a family structure issue, right?
Men, white men.
White men are fighting for this family structure that's this breadwinner society where men have all the power and women are fighting for that right to get it back because it's 2019. It's a huge deal that, you know, women have their pro-choice. You know, pro-choice in society is so big, but so many people right now are seeing it more as a family issue rather than a women's rights issue. And it's both, right? It's both a family issue where families need to be able to choose what they want to do within their family. If they get pregnant and something happens, they should have the right to choose. Every woman should have the right to choose. But men, especially white men in southern states, especially right now, are pushing that women shouldn't have the right to choose because families aren't based on choices. They're based on, frankly, God.
Yep.
Even though God, you know, has given us this ability to be pro-choice, men are fighting that we shouldn't have that choice.
It's pretty ridiculous.
Pretty ridiculous, that's for sure. So today we made a pretty good argument, in my opinion.
I think so.
I hope so. That family structures are dynamic. They're not this stagnant thing. They're not this archetypal thing where people can necessarily choose. And it's a hard issue to talk about. I mean, we talked about it a lot during class this quarter.
Yeah, we did.
And how, you know, how we can redefine what family is. And it's a hard thing to redefine. We can't really redefine family, but we can hopefully push the boundaries. And I think that's the main point of our argument is that, you know, people should be able to create what their family should look like. It shouldn't be something necessarily that the government, and I know we talked about it during class, but, you know, where if your significant other is in the hospital, how would you deal with that? But I think that laws should be written in order to make that a little bit open, you know, able to give people that pro-choice, going back to the abortion issue, tying that in, but that, you know, people should be able to choose who and what their families look like, not just the government choosing it for them, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, I mean, pretty much I think our baseline of our argument for what is family is that family is dynamic, family is open, family should be interpreted how you want to interpret it, while, yeah, creating laws in order to support that is great, but I think society at the forefront needs to make a change, and, you know, we always talk about, you know, making change through activism, and that's how we're going to make change in society. And I think the only way in order to make change within our government, you know, which we talked about technically is society, the government is society.
Mm-hmm.
The only way we can get government to change is by having activism in order to push these rights. And I think they've done such a good job in past decades and, you know, past years especially, of pushing these boundaries for us and for our generation to succeed in actually answering the question a bit more about what is family and having that be something that's open to everyone. And I think that's really important. And I'm so glad that we were able to do this podcast, aren't you?
Oh, I am.
A lot of fun. I had a lot of fun making it. But we just want to say thank you so much for listening. It was a great time.
I had fun.
It was a great time, and I hope we answered the question to the best of our abilities, and hopefully we brought it not only from the past of, you know, pre-war, you know, all the way to tie in today to hot-button issue of abortion and how all of this truly is and truly is encompassed by the question, what is family? And family being open, dynamic, and pro you. Not just pro choice, but pro you get to make that decision, not just the government. So I think kind of our plea to everyone is to be an activist, you know, fight for those rights, be able to work for that stuff in order to change the views of the government and make them the way that we need to make them in order for family structures to keep evolving in the future. This is Hannah Pollock.
And this is Victoria Mount.
And thanks so much for listening.
Thank you.